Shalom, everybody. We are going to finish up today, Bezat Hashem, Shara Achzariyot. That is the Midah of callousness. And hopefully, Bezat Hashem, we're going to start Midata Simcha. And the first beginning where we're up to, the paragraph, it's Sarich Liot Achzari Al Rishaim. For those who are home, you can look on the share screen. This actually is mamash connected with Purim. It's exactly Purim. It's exactly Parshat Zachor. V'tzarich liot achzari al rishaim. Remember, as we've seen in the past, he mentions when a character trait is good and when it's not good. And now he's telling us when it's good to be callous. And when it talks about evil people, like the Hamas, you have to get tough. And just like Chazal said that Shaul HaMelech was wrong for not finishing off Amalek. And Chazal say in the Midrash, what you think you're more merciful than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, if you read the Midrashim, what Amalek did to Am Yisrael, without getting into gory details, you will understand why Hashem said to make sure that we have to deter them. In general, you deter an evil nation with what they would do to you. And that's because that's the language that they understand. You got to fight fire with fire. And Bichlal, what's behind this teaching, by the way, it's by Achav also. Do you remember there was the Navi from Yehuda? I think Chazal say it was Odid, if I remember correctly, who Achav, when he went to war against, who was it? I don't remember. Aram, maybe. And Hashem gave the enemy in his hand. And he had a servant. No, I'm sorry. The king, who he was about, who he had arrested and was in jail. The servant said, no, I'm sorry. He wasn't arrested. The Kitzur, you look it up. I don't remember all the details. In Melachim Bet. And the king sees that the war is over. The game is up. And his assistant tells him, why don't you come out with your hands up and surrender to Achav? Because everybody knows the kings of Israel, Malkei Chesedheim, they're nice. They're nice guys. They're nice kings. And maybe he'll have mercy on you. And in fact, the king and his assistant came to Achav. And Achav, in fact, had mercy on him. And the Navi came to Achav, and he actually, it's interesting, you're not allowed to inflict wounds on yourself, right? You're not allowed to be a masochist. But he asked somebody to beat him up. The first guy didn't listen to him, and he was punished. Second guy listened to him and beat him up. The Navi tells you to beat him up, you know, so he beats him up. And he comes to the king Achav, and Achav says, why are you beaten up? You know, kings also used to be judges. So the Navi says, well, during the war, they put me in charge of a jail and told me that I should make sure that the prisoners don't run away. And I was a little lazy or fell asleep. And I let a prisoner run away. And so they beat me up. That's what, I guess, officers in the army used to do. So Achav says to him, well, you deserve it after what you did. You know, that was your job, and you didn't do your job, and you let the prisoner free. And then the Navi takes off his tachposet and says, you are that person, because you had the king in your hand, and you had mercy on him, and you were supposed to finish him off. And again, that doesn't mean that every single prisoner of war you have to finish off. Especially today, the Shita is to get as much information out of them as possible. Because that's really what's helping us with Hamas. But we see throughout history, Am Yisrael was always a cut one league more kind than our enemies. And that we suffered sometimes because of it. And it's interesting, the Rambam, well, I spoke about this recently. Did I speak about Mechiyat HaMalek here in the shiur last week? Anyway, tell me if I did.
I wasn't here last week.
just tell me if we spoke about it. The Rambam has an interesting mitzvah that even in a generation like today where we don't have Amalek around anymore, there still is a mitzvah every year to remember Amalek. Now, according to the Sefer Afinul that says the mitzvah to remember them is so that you should get rid of them. And that's why, for example, Sefer Achinuch exempts women from hearing Parshat Zachor, because they don't go to war, so why should they hear Parshat Zachor? Others disagree and say that women are obligated, especially today, if we don't have Amalek. So why? The only thing that's left from Amalek is that once a year we have to remember Amalek. Why? And the Rambam, as is very common, he answers the question that he doesn't ask. He doesn't ask the question, but if you have the question, you'll read his Lashon and you see his answer to that question. He does that very often. And he says that the mitzvah of Zechirat Amalek is Le'orer Eivato, to awaken hate. Now, why do you have to awaken hate? Usually in the Torah, we try and get rid of hate. And this is a classic example of what we've said in the past, that a person always has to know where he is and how to, like we just said a minute ago, how to get to the middle. In other words, am I on this extreme or on that extreme? And most nations of the world have a lot of hate, and that's why the Shema Mitzvah B'nai Noach tries to pull them in the direction of being nice. In Am Yisrael, that could also be the case all year round. On the other hand, we also have a problem that sometimes, like we mentioned in the Tanakh, we see that we're over-nice. And, I was talking about this in one of the Midrashot, and I mentioned to the girls, who's the Israeli army? It's me. Is this rabbi? Is that rabbi? I mentioned just a couple of rabbis who really are not intimidating. and all the girls were laughing. I was how are we going to run an Israeli army like this? And I said, that's exactly what the Rambam. I give him a mashal. It's like a father who takes his high school daughter for a father-daughter discussion and says to her, listen, you're very nice. You're very sweet. You're growing up to be a nice, mature young lady. But you should know that there are some bad people outside. Don't let them take advantage of you. Right? And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Am Yisrael. You're very nice, you're very sweet, but sometimes you have to get tough. And that's exactly what the Ruchot Tzadikim is saying here. Tzarich liyot achzari al harishaim. You would think it goes without saying. But sometimes with the Jewish people, we have to make a conscious effort to get tough. Shelo l'rachem aleim. V'amru rabotenu. By the way, I don't think, I'm not a political scientist, but I don't think there's a country in the world that has so many evil terrorists that has such a strong left wing, like Israeli politics. There are a lot of leftists in Israel. And you'd think, that after 7 or 8 wars, and after thousands of terrorist attacks, there wouldn't be too many leftists. Maybe after what happened with Hamas, there definitely are a lot to
change their minds. They think that if we're nice, they think that it's happening because we're not nice enough. So right. It strengthens them, I guess.
Right. So that's
terrorist attacks. We're not.
That's the neurotic Jew. That I once saw that in America, Jews are statistically twice as neurotic as goyim. They go to psychologists for people for neurosis. That what is neurosis in this context? We always blame ourselves as if it's our fault.
And because our parents are blaming us all the time, and we get all these Mister Shearing saying.
So that's good. So now we know why we're in the middle, or maybe why we're even leaning a little to the left. Right? I guess it's in the long run, it's better to be a nice guy. And I told you about Mrs. Moriarty, my mother's cleaning lady, whose husband, whose daughter got engaged to a nice Jewish boy, and she was so happy. My mother said, "Why are you so happy?" So she says, what do you mean? She's Irish. She says, nice Jewish boys, they make great husbands. They don't beat their wives. They don't get drunk like the Irish boys. Bikitzur, Amru Rabotenu, Kol mi shenaase rachaman bimkom achazari, sof shenaase achazari bimkom rachaman. That's Kohelet Rabba, that's the Midrash on Shaul that we said. That somebody who has mercy on the cruel, in the end, he just gets mixed up. And by having mercy on the cruel, he's being cruel to the nice. And by the way, it's interesting, a lot of the Rambam in the Guide for the Perplexed has an interesting take on this. Everybody knows there is a mitzvat lo taseh of lo tamod al dam reyecha. If you see a Jew in danger, you have to intervene, you have to get involved. There's also mitzvat aseh, that hatzalam mi rodef, that's the sugya of rodef, right? If somebody's chasing somebody, you have an obligation to step in and save the person who's being chased. And the Sefer HaChinuch there writes that that in Am Yisrael, we always worry about the underdog. We take care of the weak. We take care of the underprivileged. I'll just point out that, notice, this is the exact opposite of Darwin's theory. Right? Darwin says that man is just another animal, and that war is inevitable because it's survival of the fittest. So everyone's always going to be fighting with each other. And imperialism is natural, etc., etc. Judaism says, no, man is not an animal. Man can overcome his animalistic or cruel desires in order to be nice. So that's the first thing. Two, take care of the underdog. Number two, there's also in the Sefer HaChinuch, that we want to make sure that Israel society doesn't look like Harlem. Ever heard of Harlem? Right? It's not a nice neighborhood, right? So we worry about the individual. We worry about society. But the Rambam, and the Guide for the Perplexed, he adds something very interesting. He says, why do you have to intervene to deter the evil person? For his sake. For the evil person's sake. Because most evil people do not have happy lives. And you're doing him a favor by deterring him. And I hope that we deter the Hamas and Hezbollah enough that the next generation will hopefully be deterred. It's difficult to change somebody else's religion, but somewhere along the line, they according to Islamic... this I saw on the internet, they have no mitzvah of jihad if they can't win. So the idea is that we have to get them, yeah, otherwise why don't they start a war every single day? You know, if they don't have a chance of winning. So, and that's why we have quiet, you know, after a big victory, you know, we have a couple years of quiet. And that's the idea. We have to get them into that mindset that halachically, in their halacha, they cannot win us. And then they are exempt. He mentions Shaul, Bishvil Sherichem al Agag, because he had mercy on Agag. Yatsa mimenu haman shenaaseh mitzer Yisrael. In the end, yeah, he had mercy on Agag, but because of his great great grandson, indirectly you were being cruel to the Jewish people.
Maybe then any of Haman's sons have sons?
Well, all of his sons were hung.
No, but the sons did have children.
The Gemara Masechet Gittin says that Bnei Banav Shel Haman Rasha Lamdu Torah B'Bnei Brak. And that is talking about Rabbi Akiva, whose parents were converts. And the question is, how do they know if they were from Haman?
If it says Tibchet Zecher Amalek, maybe you have to do it even if they convert. It doesn't make
right.
sense. Right.
So that's the question that many ask on the Gemara. Yafeh. So the Talmud Yerushalmi, I think, is the best answer. Sorry?
I didn't know about Akiva's parents.
Yeah. Okay. That we know, but according to that Gemara, it says they were from Amalek. Again, these things, you don't know how literally to take them.
Some of them must have been married and had children already.
Maybe they were killed in the war, the 500 people.
But the women. Anyway, it's a good question. The Talmud Yerushalmi has the best answer, that it says, it asks, was Haman actually from Agag? And it answers, Kotsetz ben Kotsetz haya. In other words, he had the character traits of Agag, of Amalek, and that's why we say he's from Amalek. And this is what Reb Chaim Soloveitchik calls Amalek Ra'ayoni, not Amalek Biologi. And that's why Reb Chaim asks a series of 8 questions. Really, really very interesting chidush. I'll just ask something that you probably always bothered you. If Shaul was punished for not killing even the sheep of Amalek, so how could Mordechai inherit the house of Haman? You're not allowed to benefit from Amalek. So Reb Chaim answers that the sur of Hana'a is to benefit from Amalek, that is biological Amalek. But ideological Amalek, there is no problem to benefit from them. Right. So there were those that said that actually, there's a big machlok between Ben Gurion and Begin, but the poskim, you know, at a situation where a person, you know, really lost all of his money, it's hard to tell him. Now I know Kibbutz Yavna, all their original machines came from Germany, from reparations money. You know, it's very difficult not to accept reparations money after everything you've been through, and that's haratzachta v'gam yarashta. You know. Anyway, gami achzar al gufo litroch tamid lasot retzon aboreid barach. If we're talking about being callous, don't be over careful regarding your physical body. Velo yirachem al gufo la'adeno tov v'lelech b'shurut libo. Don't go and spoil yourself with physical pleasures. It's not saying you're not allowed to have physical pleasures, but don't overdo it, just like everything. By the way, it's worth mentioning that the definition of roughing it, or the definition of the middle road that we've mentioned, this is the third time tonight, that the Rambam says that's always the proper way. It changes from generation to generation. Right? Some of you may remember that there was a family on the Yishuv who, as a matter of principle, they did not want a telephone in their house. And you'd always see them by the payphone. When it was a payphone, right. And I think somewhere along the line, they got a telephone. Because somewhere along the line, you realize that what used to be considered a luxury is no longer a luxury. Right? Today, having a smartphone, I don't think it would be considered a luxury, because so often you have to get messages and you tikshoret, you stay in touch with, or you go to a hafgana. You know, how are you going to find people? You take a picture. And I get questions all the time on the smartphone of, if I have a door like this, is it chayav in mezuzah? Right, and a lot of questions, halacha questions. You need to see, and I know that at the beginning, Ravoa didn't have a smartphone, but very quickly he realized that you cannot be a rav today without having a smartphone or having a wife who has a smartphone. I noticed there's some people. Just last week, I called somebody whose wife has a smartphone. Anyway, velo ya'achzari al atzmo yoter midai lekalkel gufo. Again, the middle road. Don't overdo it. Don't underdo it. Achitfos midam bein onit. Always go in the middle road. By the way, we've seen it before. The Ruchot Tzadikim lived after the Rambam, and he quotes the Rambam sometimes. Here he doesn't do it by name, but it's very clear that he's quoting the Rambam. Ve'ata ben adam. Next paragraph. Ayen al atzmicha ve'titrachek mina achzariyut ach tirachem al aniyim ve'evyonim. And he says, as part of overcoming the midah of callousness, you've got to go overboard in terms of having mercy on the poor. V'yu aniyim b'nei beitecha. You should invite them to be a part of your family. By the way, part of the idea of, we just celebrated Purim, of Matanot Evyonim, some explain it like the Trumat Adeshen, says Mishloach Matanot is to make sure that every single Jew has what to eat for Seudat Purim. Others say that that is the same thing by Matanot Evyonim. And that's why the best way, a lot of times people think, you know, how can I give this guy money? He won't accept money. You can just give him a very nice Mishloach Matanot. And that is also Matanot Levyonim, because it can be together. And V'natalecha rachamim v'richamecha. And so the Pasuk in Devarim says that Hashem gives you mercy, and you should have mercy on other people. Kol ha-merachem ala briyot, merachmin alav min ha-shamayim. Whoever has mercy on other people, Hashem will have mercy on them. So it's called Midah Keneged Midah.
You mentioned four times about Shvila Emtza, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Muzan, not the exaggerating in any direction. But that's all what Orchid Tzadikim is about. So why tonight is it a Chiddush? I don't understand. Like, all of a sudden when it comes out, so Yuki says, be balanced, you know, don't be too...
We've seen it in the past.
Say the same thing about Simcha. Yeah. Say the same thing about Kinnan. He'll say the same thing about everything.
There's a good chance. Mm-hmm. We've definitely seen it before Achzariyut.
Right, but like, no.
That's why I
said this for the fourth time tonight.
No, that was me, not
you
him.
You said it about yourself, right?
Yeah. Blame him for boring you.
No,
blame me
that.
For boring
no,
I'm sorry.
No, that's not my point. My
yeah.
point is that, like, as if... It was a chitch for you that you were saying it four times.
Yeah.
When I would assume that you would probably say it every single week according to the Orchot Tzadikim. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not a chitch for this week. It's
yeah.
a chitch every week. So it shouldn't have been surprising
okay.
that you repeated yourself.
Okay, I understand.
You understand my question?
Good question.
You were surprised with
yeah.
yourself that you kept repeating it.
Okay, because it all depends, like we said, where I am and where the middle is. And what it means, for example, to be cruel to your body. Like we said, what does it mean to be cruel to your body? In one generation, it would be to sleep on a mattress. You know? Another generation would be to have a telephone. Another generation. And this is it changes all the time. And a person should always take the medium. Also, there are certain things. What does it mean to be cruel? It all depends on your generation. If we were to do to Egypt or Jordan what David HaMelech did to his enemies, you know, we would rightly be cruel. Exactly.
But there is real cruelty. There is real pain. There is real hurt. But,
right.
you know, some people scream a lot.
Right,
okay,
but...
That's how they talk, you know. Okay.
Right, but when it comes to our enemies... That's what Rav Kook writes, that you have to deal in the language of your generation, even if sometimes objectively it's cruel. Now, there's certain things David HaMelech did which were cruel. You know, cutting off the thumbs, that's in Sefer Shoftim, cutting off the thumbs of the enemy, you know, that wouldn't go today. But if that was accepted, and in their day, we know things, people did a lot more serious things. Yeah. Exactly. So that's how we should speak to the Syrians. The problem is, I get off the topic, is that everybody has a double standard for the Jewish people. That they may be correctly, because we're always nice guys, and then all of a sudden when we talk to them in their language, everyone gets offended. Okay.
We have a mitzvah of zechor, because the world forgets so quickly, so if we're not going to remember,
we're
already
forgotten about the kid.
Yeah.
Look what happened in the UN. It's
going to
be. They didn't even mention the
hospitals. Ve'natan lecha rachamim. Lachin, al tesalek mi'alecha rachamim. Ach yishamer mimidat achzariyut. Again, don't go overboard to be cruel, and obviously don't go underboard. In other words, be nice. Ve'amar Shlomo, pen titen lachem.
Relative.
Yeah.
Cruel and nice is relative.
Yeah. That being said, in other words, I agree 100%. That being said, there are certain things that halachically are always going to be prohibited. That's what we have a Shulchan Aruch for. But when, not when it comes to war. When it comes to war, you have to deter the enemy in the language that they understand. Right? But in general, yeah, that's what the Shulchan Aruch is for, because we do have red lines. V'amar Shlomo, especially regarding Jewish people, because there's some cruel Jewish people that have to be put in their place. Right? Or, that's what we have gabbais for, that's what we have, you know, that's their job. That's what we have mazkirut for, you know, to tell people, you know, there's a red line. V'amar Shlomo, pen titen la'acherim hodecha u'shnotecha la'achzari, v'izaher mina nekama yotze min ha'achzariyut. And also, sometimes there is a time for revenge. Usually, for Jews, you're not allowed to take revenge to the enemy. You are allowed to take revenge, but let's go on, because I want to finish. We have to finish this. Let's jump. Do you see where it says, Brachot Yud Zayin Amud Bet? Oh, here, it's the beginning of a paragraph. Gam Ze Tshuva La'aniyim. It's the beginning of a new paragraph?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody got it?
No, no.
Gamze, what page is it on?
Yeah, it doesn't matter, I'll listen.
Okay, Gamze tshuva laniyim ha'omrim, b'mena ase tova. Sometimes poor people say, how can we help other people? We also want to help other people, we don't have the means. Halo em biyadenu mu'uma liten tzedaka laniyim. Somebody just asked me yesterday, are poor people obligated in matanot levyonim? And the answer is yes. Because matanot levyonim for Mishnah Berura is really just 10 agurot. You know, everybody can afford 10 agurot. Ve'ilu dvarim shel hevel lehem. Ruchot Tzadikim says, this is not true. Ki yachol liten tzedaka b'ma'asav hatovim u'bekiyum ha'mitzvot. This is a very important thing. A lot of people don't realize, and this is especially important, people who are on a tight budget, but they want to give ma'aser k'safim. They want to give 10% to tzedakah. When you volunteer for whatever it is, you that can be considered ma'aser k'safim. For example, when a person's on the mazkirut, the time that you spend on the mazkirut, that can be taken off of ma'aser k'safim. For if you give a person a break, on they can't afford it, you give them a hanacha, do you say hanacha? Discount. Right? You could take that off of Maaser K'safim. Right? Whatever you do when you're cooking for the soldiers or the soldiers' wives, not only can you take off the what you bought in the Makovit for Maaser K'safim, you could also take off the time that it takes to bake or to cook. That is Maaser K'safim.
You could be earning money that time. That's right.
Exactly.
Salary, you wouldn't call it.
Uh-huh. Right?
Time is money.
Time is money. A penny saved is a penny earned, right? It's all the same idea. Ubekiyum a mitzvot, right? Whenever you do a mitzvah, a lot of mitzvot chesed, right? That's a good way of putting it. Time is money. And so don't say, well, I'm poor, so I can't give tzedakah. Okay, so you volunteer. Asher yizaher ba'avodata boreid barach b'chol yecholto, uvizchut ha'tovim v'atzadikim ha'kadosh baruch hu meitiv lo'olam u'mefarnasam. Here he adds, in addition to the fact that what we saw before, that if I have mercy, Hashem will have mercy on me. That's especially important to remember. Yom Kippur, Asar Yemei Teshuvah, everybody wants Hashem to have mercy on them. But so if I can say, you know, listen, I did lifni meshurat hadin, even something as, I'll say this in English, because my Israeli students in the Michlala don't, aren't listening in, that I'm a very, very lenient marker. I'm, you know, and a woman's pregnant, and a woman's in a nurse, what's it called? House rest. Home rest. How do you say that in English?
Bed rest.
Bed rest. That's the word I was looking for. And where the husband's in Miluim this year, the last, also with Corona, you know. So, I can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, I had mercy on her and on her and on her. You can have mercy on me. You know, and in general, that is how Hashem put here, the Ruchot Tzadikim is adding that Hashem will have mercy on the entire world. Because the more our culture, the more our nation runs on good-heartedness, Hashem has all that much more reason, midah keneged midah, to be good-hearted and to have mercy on us. Hayesh zdaka gdola mizot, right? For us to get Hashem to have mercy on us, on all of us, is there any chesed as great as that? Right? And that's an interesting thought, an interesting plateau. A lot of people don't think that. Gam ani ten tzedaka ma'at. A poor person doesn't have to give 10%, but again, if he can give 10% through time, volunteering, even if a person received tzedakah, and he gets just like ubachanani gambazot, right? Chazal say that the pasuk says that you can test HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that but what you give to tzedakah, you get in return. And here he says, even gets doubled, especially a poor person. Because if a poor person gives 5 shekel, that's a lot more valuable than when a wealthy person does the same thing.
It's a lot more than when a wealthy person gives $5,000.
Right? Depends. Nechan. V'chein amru rabotein, Chazal say, Masechet Menachot, Echad amarbe, Echad amamit, Bilvad sheyechaven libo la'aviv shebashamayim. The most important thing is not the amount that you give to tzedakah, but how much can you give? Percentage, for example, is closer to, but even percentage, a lot of times people, they can't give maaser kesafim, even, so they can't. Maaser kesafim, by the way, you should know, many opinions say that it's midat chasidut. There are a lot of, some say it's a chovah, it's an obligation. Others say it's a mitzvah. Others say it's a midat chasidut. So whenever somebody asks me about how to figure out the maaser kesafim, it's always important to know how they're doing in the bank. Because there are a lot of also opinions, even if you want to give maaser kesafim, you can take your children's Torah education and figure that as part of it. On the other hand, if you can afford it and don't need those leniencies, you know, if you can manage, you know, why not? But echad amarbe,
the money you spend on Shabbos and the money you spend on guests, I mean, you could take this very far.
You could take what?
You could always send it to
the money you spend on Shabbos and the money you spend on your guests and the money you spend on your helping your neighbor. Everything, well,
that's
even
what
if the person doesn't need your tzedakah.
So that's the Aruch HaShulchan, says what Rivka says, and he says we should try not to rely on these leniencies, because otherwise the poor people are really going to go hungry. yeah. Okay, Shar HaSimcha. Oh, we can start a new Shar today. Let us stop the share and go into a new Shar. Okay, where is it? Where is it? Shara Simcha. Here we go. Okay, this is the ninth Shar. HaSimcha. By the way, I'll already preface it. Very, very nice sefer. The Rav Asher Zonenshein Zatzal. I should say Zatzal. He really was a very special person, right? Remember Asher, who passed away? His father put out a sefer on the Midah of Simcha. And there are really like 40 ma'amarim here, really from top-notch Rabbanim. And he really did a very, very nice job. Michael Lev, who is Asher's brother-in-law, a lot of people don't know that, he's selling the book if you want it.
The two sisters.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, so I just thought it just came out mamash now, so I thought that there's no better way of learning about Simcha than an entire book that is dedicated to Simcha. I'll already point out that Chassidut, it's not a secret that the Chassidim built an ideology around the concept of Simcha. And today, you know, if you want to learn about Simcha and you read Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, you'll see he goes in a lot more detail than the Orchot Tzadikim. So, you know, don't be let down by his... He doesn't go as far as the Baal Shem Tov and the Hasidic movement.
Did you read this already?
No. I just got it. Oh, you want to borrow it?
No, I want to know, like, somewhere in it, like...
Every article is different. Every chapter is different.
Like, is it like Breslov? Is it like this? Like,
what, there's one on Breslov. There's one on Breslov, but most of it isn't Breslov.
Most of it is based on like
mainstream. Yeah. Okay, Simcha Hamida Hazot Ba Le'Adam Machmat Rov Shalva. Simcha comes as a result of peace of mind. Shalva Belibo, Beli Pegara. Right? If a person, you know, is peace of mind, that enables him to be happy. The Adama, you see, as we're going to see, happiness is also a means and also an end. So, for example, shalva, peace of mind, is a means to be happy. But happiness is a means to serve Hashem properly and a means to be a good family person and a good parent, etc., etc. So we'll see that it's both. Ve'adam ha'misig tavato, somebody who fulfills his desires, ve'lo ye'arelo davar ha'matzivoto, and he doesn't have things that make him sad, b'zeh ye'sameach tadir, it's much easier for him to be happy all the time. It's connected with what we just said, that when you see somebody who is in need, you help him out, give him a loan, give him a present, etc., etc., so you were helping them be happy. And his face will shine. And you can actually see it on a person's face when he is happy. And he will be healthier. Right? Everybody says you digest your food better when you're, you know, have a nice atmosphere and you're eating with candlelight and with friends and, right? And it's healthier. It's healthier. Your blood pressure goes down and everything is better when you're happy. Your chuppah.
My own chuppah.
Oh, yeah.
And Bar returned to me and said, a skula for happiness is to be happy. Not as opposed to stop the davening, say, amen, just be. You want a skula? Be. Uh-huh. A skula for happiness is to be happy.
Yeah, fair. Ve'ein zikna memaheret lavolav. And you live a longer life, right? Happy people. Remember the yogurt commercials? About the people in the Caucasus who lived to the age of 120. And we went to a sadna of Histadrut HaMorim. How do those people really live longer? And so they mentioned healthy food. They mentioned yogurt. But they also mentioned they're religious people. And they're idealistic, and they have had good family lives, and their families live around them, etc., etc. So that makes people, enables people to live longer. Kamo she'ne'amar lev sameach yetiv geha. A happy heart raises a person up. Umina simcha yavo schok la'adam. And that's why I mentioned before, I just want to warn you a little. He, like the Mesilat Yesharim, he first is sur meira, and afterwards, Asay Tov. So you're going to wonder why he starts talking about why not to be happy. He decides here to start out with what it means to be over happy. That's what he decided. And when a person is happy, he will laugh. But an intelligent person should not laugh too much. And this is, again, there's a fine line between kalut da'at and laughter. In general, happiness is obviously good. On the other hand, lightheadedness is not good. On the other hand, should mention already, he doesn't mention it here, but just to balance it, the Gemara Masechet Ta'anit, Daf Chav Bet, tells about Eliyahu HaNavi who came to a city. And a person asked Eliyahu, who from our city is going to the world to come? And Eliyahu Navi said, not that many. And then two funny guys came out, and Eliyahu Navi said, oh, these two guys are going to Olam Haba. And the guy asked him, why? He says, because they bring people happiness. And today, in the modern world, we have a lot of things that, a lot of worries, and our life is not as natural as it used to be. So we have a tendency, I think, today, again, if we're talking about, sorry for the fifth time, to mention where is the middle road, you have to be very careful, because with all the tension and, you know, money problems and Hamas and divorce and the cancer, and there are so many things going on, and kids who don't listen, and, you know, we have tzarot today from kids that previous generations didn't have. There are a lot of things that are different today. So my educated guess is that for a lot of, for sure, people who are participating in this shiur, I don't think that we have a problem of being over-happy. Adarava, sometimes if you care about Am Yisrael, sometimes you can be under-happy. And it's always good to be in the middle. And we'll continue next time.